Experience listeners, welcome back to an episode of Native Podcast Experience. Today on the line, we have Circle Diamond Square, also known as Mark. He's a musician out of California. He's got a couple albums he's working on, but that's enough for me. I'm going to let Mark introduce himself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mark, also known as Circle Diamond Square on Instagram. And I'm a local producer just trying to make something different with my music.
Awesome, brother. So tell me a little bit how you got started in the music game. What really attracted you to it?
Well, I originally started as a guitarist and a singer, and it really came about when I was, you know, in that junior high kind of a phase. I wasn't really a fit-in, and I've been playing ever since.
Interesting. Just more of that wasn't fitting in, wanted to do something different, and made you go. There you go. Tell me a little bit about what you play. Is there any instruments you play with the music, or are you just more of a singer, all-around kind of guy?
Well, I actually play over a dozen instruments, and I probably dabble in around 50 or 60.
Wow. Tell me which ones are favorites. That's a lot of instruments. It's a dying craft for sure. But tell me which ones are favorite out of all you play.
I'd say, well, obviously guitar and synthesizer, but I've actually been playing didgeridoo for about 7 years now.
Didgeridoo. Can you elaborate on that more? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's an Aboriginal instrument. It's in the same family as a tuba.
I did not even know that. So that's good info, man. What is the, I guess you'd say, fundamentals of playing? Is there anything specific? How long did it take you to play? Was it again tuba or two or something like that?
Well, for guitar, I was going to church a lot at the time when I was in, you know, my early teenage years. And from watching the guy play up on the stage, I figured out how to play. And then one day I asked him if I could check it out, and I just got right up and could play right away.
It's pretty crazy, man. Just crazy at a young age you figured out that and you got it going. Tell me a little bit about, as far as like just now with your music side, and you said you, before the call, you're always in the studio. Do you still use the instruments in the studio, or do you have a process? Tell me what goes on in that studio of yours.
So I mainly do compositional works involving synthesizers.
Gotcha.
Just because it's a little more streamlined. You know, I can turn out a lot of content. But I also have all the hookups for my guitar and voice. I've done a couple vocal tracks. I really like to use, you know, my full guitar pedal rig, plug it into my USB interface, and lay over some tracks over stuff.
Gotcha. Is there anything in particular you worked on in the studio that, other than your albums, anything in particular you worked on that was like, that's fire, and released it to the audience?
Yeah, totally. I did like a limited release teaser track last month. It was called Keep On Moving, and it was just kind of like a happy little reggae song. It was fun to do.
There you go. So tell me, like, when you get into the studio and you're playing these instruments and you're creating this music, what goes on as far in your mindset? Is there any particular thing you look to hone in on when you're doing the vibe, or how do you find a vibe that just makes you get going and keep flowing?
Totally, 100%. I always try to, you know, if I can't make it in a couple tries where I'm not feeling it, then I just take the rest of the day off. But the thing that usually gets me going is the big pad synth sounds. They're just so lush. They really create so much emotion.
Interesting. So now, would you say you've always been like this? You've always had this certain personality where you will get certain vibes and go with it? Or is it more spur of the moment? Because I know some artists do spur of the moment, some find an energy. How long would you say do you spend, other than you take away from it, what do you do in those away times to get the vibe going or to try and get back on track?
Well, I'm always making music, honestly. When I'm not, you know, doing the daily grind, I like to go and sit out at my local Starbucks and play jazz guitar to some backing tracks. I also play a lot of blues and funk lately.
Interesting. So what is the desire with the blues and the jazz? Has that always been something that's been in your arsenal? You've always enjoyed that?
Yeah, it kind of just, it immediately takes you somewhere. It immediately makes you feel something, whether that be, you know, sadness or relaxed or, you know, just a certain mood. It always conveys, you know, without any words, exactly what's going on.
Interesting. Now, would that also mean your name, circle, diamond, square, because those are all symbols, has something to do with that, or was it something different? With you? I was just going to say that, yeah.
Well, I've had a couple bands in the past, and of course, you know, being able to put out merchandise at some point is always a, you know, a plus. And so when I was trying to come up with a project name, I was really trying to think of something that was immediately recognizable and memorable. So I figured going with names that had some symbolic meaning behind them, where you can actually picture the symbols, that would make it easier for people to remember me.
Very interesting. I think it's probably some of the most recognizable symbols as far as shapes, like a circle, a diamond, and a square. You know, it's all concise. So switching over to a little bit about your albums, tell me a little about the Circle the First and the Circle the Second. We'll start with the first album. What was it like making it? Was it a long process? Was there any favorite part in it? Just tell me that whole process of what it was like to make your first album.
Oh man, the first album was so terrifying. I started it off not expecting it to be an album, just expecting it to be a little project. And before I knew it, I had, you know, about 6 months in, I had maybe 35 tracks to work with, and all different myriad of, you know, trance, EDM, synthwave, vaporwave stuff that I like to do. And it just happened one day. I was Googling, you know, how to post your album online, and found a service that made sense and went for it.
What was that service that made that got you to where you want to be?
I uploaded with a program called SoundDrop.
Okay. Yeah,
it's really cool. It's free.
Is it different than SoundCloud, or is it about the same? Tell me a little differences between SoundDrop and like SoundCloud, let's say.
So SoundDrop is like the gatekeeper for all those other streaming services. So when you upload there, you can go on to SoundCloud, all the different streaming, major streaming services like iTunes and Spotify and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So it's the bridge, the gap between, I guess you could say, the regular artist in a sense, like you have the regular stuff you put out there between the heavy stuff, but the heavy hardcore stuff. I got you. So when you made that first album and you got that out, what was the post-promotion like? How did you promote that?
Well, that's kind of where my Instagram came in at first. It was really, you know, try to push the album, try to get it in front of people. And through doing that, I kind of didn't really have that much of a response at first, which is expected and totally fine. It's my first album, you know. But I realized that I had to change my scope from, you know, help me listen to my album to, you know, be inspired, check it out, see if it gets something going for you, because it's pretty out there and different.
When you say by indifferent, tell me a little bit, just elaborate on that more. Is it something that most people would vibe with, or is it just something that it takes a little bit of more meaning to vibe with?
I think some of the tracks are real straightforward and really hit you with what's going on right away. But a lot of it is very, you know, cinematic changes. So a little different than what people usually listen to, I think.
Gotcha. So when you push a message out with each album you're producing or the tracks, you said how many tracks was on your first album again? Just to remind
20.
Me. 20. Okay. 20. So when you figure out a way to get 20 songs out there, does each song have a message to convey of its own, or do you streamline each song saying it's going to be the same message? What's your strategy when you're trying to convey messages out there to each song?
Well, I try to take it like from a sound design perspective, straight from the studio. So I usually create tracks in like sequence. So one track is made from another track is made from another track. So it's kind of like one consciousness stream, if that makes sense.
Stream of consciousness. Okay. That's a good way to style it, because if you do that, in a sense, you have your way and you can still get a good stream of consciousness answer. You get streamlined answers. from what the perspective is of audience members. So music is obviously a business, and it's also about, other than, you know, just playing stuff, you also have networking and collaborating. What is the business side that you meet in the music industry? Do you find yourself networking with more with people, connecting, or are you still in the process of trying to figure that out to get a good craft down?
I mean, it's something that you can never really figure out. You always kind of have to be pushing and looking for that next lead, that next person that wants to, you know, collaborate or distribute or license your music. But the big thing for me has been trying to get licensing, try to get in, you know, film, TV, even, you know, music videos and stuff like that. That's really what I'm interested in right now.
How long would that process take? Or are you still in the middle of that process of licensing? How long on average does it take to get that that golden ticket to that movie or film?
Well, I'm in a couple independent films right now. Nothing that's been released, but it all depends on what kind of license they're really looking for. Are they looking to just, you know, use it one time, or do they want to buy the whole track outright, which would be more like a studio looking to relicense the track?
Gotcha. Okay. So it's more of a longer process than what you would say compared to like writing a song, or about the same?
Oh yeah, it takes a significantly longer amount of time.
gotcha. Okay. No, that's fair, right? Because you want to make sure everything is right with the credentials between the movie and the artist, for sure. So transitioning now into that second album, tell me a little bit what's been going on with the Circle of the second album. What's the progress like?
Oh man, it has been a giant monster. I love it. I'm in the studio almost every day.
Wow.
You know, trying to at least get one or two projects out that I can stay ahead of the curve. And I kind of got lost in, you know, just the make cycle. And before I knew it, I had, you know, 55 tracks to choose from for the album.
Dang.
So it's been kind of like all right, which one do I love the most?
Gotcha. And what's your final decision process when you try to slim it down to, let's say, a number?
For me, I really want to get the content out there. That's why I'm doing like the double full album release. It's kind of like making little tiny stories, so that way the whole entire album is, you know, here's this part where it went down, and here's the big lifter, and here's the mellow track after the storm, you know, stuff like that.
Gotcha. So it's back to what you were saying in the first album, more streamlined effects.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So when you're making this second album, is there anything you learned from the first album that you can apply to the second album to help speed up time? Because it sounds like you're a go-getter and you like to get done in the studio as much as possible.
Oh, yeah. I learned so much from that first album. Back when I was making tracks then, you know, even 3-4 months ago, it was all about trying to figure out how to get everything perfect, trying to make everything work right. And so I was spending, you know, 4 to 6 hours on one single track, and it was just grueling. And I was, you know, really inspired by a couple people that I follow on Instagram to try and streamline the process, use the program to its, you know, its best abilities. And before I knew it, I was decreasing my time spent, which I think kind of lets you be more objective on the track, because then you have fresher ears when you listen to it.
Oh, nice. I like how you said that you get the fresher ears and you give that that impression to keep things fresh. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So when you're in the studio and you start your day, is there any routine you have to start your day when you get in the studio? Is there anything that gets you hyped up or gets you calmed down before you start writing? Any particular routine or special nutrition you have?
Oh, 100%. I always have to have coffee. That's rule number one.
There you go.
Whenever you're trying to make something that's, you know, upbeat or, you know, boom bap or drum and bass kind of a thing, you really have to not feel tired, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. So you're trying to make sure you have your head straight, you have your I don't know. I guess you could say you have your aura. I guess this is a good word. You have your aura going.
Oh, yeah.
How important is aura and energy when writing a song for those of you who are not?
It's probably, 60% of it. If you're not feeling it, then, don't delete it, but throw it in a folder and come back to it.
Gotcha. What's the other 40%, if I don't mind asking?
Organization.
Okay.
You got to stay really organized. Otherwise, I've seen some producers that'll do, they save every single take, which is, it's a cool thing if you're doing like a live studio session. But when you're producing, it can become real daunting, when you're trying to find take 35 and you're listening to the same thing over and over and over, you kind of lose that ability to be really objective with the fine parts.
Gotcha. Is there any particular thing when you organize? Is there any routine or any agenda you have when you organize to make sure you're right on track?
Oh, yeah. So I look at it as kind of like an evolutionary process. One, I'll generate like an audio file, and then I'll go back and I'll tweak that audio file and make another one, so another track. And then at first I was really, each and every track was its own thing. And now it's more, all right, I figured out what I like from those tracks. Now I'm going to add instruments and change the sonic structure of the EQ and kind of use that to create the next thing. So then when I organize it, instead of organizing it by date, I organize it by which project I made that from. So it's like cascading to the present.
Gotcha. When you say sonic structure of EQ, do you mean sonic structure of emotional intelligence or something in the music terms?
Well, you have the individual instruments that you can change, dramatically with just a little delay or a little EQ or a little reverb change. But I'm talking more like the big changes, like the overall mix of all the parts and also the summation and how you treat that in post-production.
Gotcha. So it's a very streamlined, fluid, it's a fluid process. It's not, it looks easy on paper because people make it look easy, but it's not. It
takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how many times do you listen back to your songs? Is it like an never-ending deal, like as many times to get it perfect? Or do you feel like one or two will get you the job done? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think that anything's ever inherently perfect. Otherwise, it would be no fun.
Right.
And what I try to do is I separate the listening times. So I listen to it a bunch of times when I'm, composing it and playing all the different parts. And then I kind of step away, and then later on I'll put on my composer hat and figure everything out. And so I'd say I probably listen to a track, 2 to 10 times each session.
Gotcha. It's a interesting trend where people are starting to realize. We've interviewed people who says 500 times to make sure it's good as it can get, but sometimes just being simpler, going back to those simple basics, gets you further.
Exactly. And you got to keep those parts, concise, because sometimes you can add, 10 different layers to the same sound, or you could kind of take that sound and design something that's similar but does it with less moving parts.
Gotcha. You're out there in California, and you're out there in an interesting part of the world, the West Coast. What's the West Coast music scene like in the California area, in your hometown, Temecula?
Well, in Temecula, I think it's really, it's kind of lost. It's, we have a little old town scene that has a lot of blues, a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan type stuff, and, I don't really see too many innovators in my current market.
Really? So would you say is it a market on the rise, or you feel like it's been on the decline waiting for someone to break out?
I definitely think it's on the decline waiting for somebody to break out, because as soon as somebody does something different, they usually take right off.
Interesting. So the fans will, or the people in demographic will get behind that because that's the first thing they're seeing.
Gotcha. Exactly. We had a kind of a local celebrity rise up from America's Got Talent. I don't know if you've seen or heard of Cody Lee.
No, I'm not.
Well, he's blind and autistic, and he even has like a hard time carrying on like conversations. But as soon as he gets behind a piano, the guy sings and plays like nobody else. It's amazing.
Very interesting. And would you say people like Cody, who are trying to make a name for themselves, help lift the city up? Would you say those kind of stories are what more should be shed in those areas to help the music community rise?
Yeah, I think that we should definitely share that kind of stuff more. From what I understand, they've been selling out all their shows that they've been doing. He kind of joined up with the local band, you know, the workhorse guys that have been out here for 10 years playing all the clubs.
Gotcha. So looking at, in a sense, because I know music is an interesting, it's almost like it's your own identity, right? It's very, sometimes it can be very lonely. Sometimes it can be very uplifting. What do you do to make sure you have those, when you have those days where you're not feeling in the studio, or you come back after a work day in the studio and you're not liking the vibe? How do you reset your mindset to get you going for the next day when you have those rough
days? I love watching comedy specials on Netflix. I know I'm kind of a nerd for saying that, but that always kind of cheers me up. The other thing is you just have to change your surroundings sometimes. It's like when you walk through a door and you forget what you were doing and you walk back through that door and, oh, I remember now. It's kind of like that change of scenery can really have a more adverse effect on you than you would think.
Interesting. You need that that relief, that comedic relief, in a sense, to get away from the rat race and find a hobby. Any other hobbies you have besides watching comedy and music?
Oh, totally. I have been making and manufacturing jewelry for about 15 years. I do everything from rings and chains and pendants, and I dabble in cutting and polishing my own stones.
Tell me what it's like to do that with that whole industry, that jewelry industry. What's the work like in routine?
Usually it's at your own pace, just like the music. If you want to make one a day, that's cool. If you want to make 20 a day, that's also cool.
it's another one of those, you know, whatever you feel is right. That work at your own pace. We won't rush it. I like that.
Yeah, because a big part of it is, you know, really paying attention to yourself and seeing those signs when you're just done, you know?
Gotcha. It's the end goal at the end of the day, the end result. And you see the end result, you see that you got a great piece of work here and you vibe with it.
Yeah, nothing makes you feel better.
Yeah, that feeling of accomplishment, I definitely 100% on that one. So tell me, like, the evolution. When you started in the music game, there wasn't Spotify, there wasn't Instagram. What was it when you first started in the music game to now? What's been some of the bigger changes you've had to adjust to and learn from?
Well, when it first started, it was a lot of wanted ads on Craigslist and physical flyers saying, you know, take guitar lessons, looking to start a band. That's even how you promoted your shows, which you can, it's still alive now, but it was really crazy when like iTunes first came out, because it was such like a gate that you felt that you couldn't walk through, if that makes sense. The label still really controlled distribution and what you really consumed. And nowadays, like with SoundDrop, you can essentially post anything you want as long as it's your own original content for free. So it's like all those old barriers are gone. If you make music and you really try hard, there's nothing stopping you these days.
Yeah, I think it's become a very open, very low barrier entry in the music game. Would you say that yourself? It's becoming very low barrier entry. Anyone can start if you have a little talent.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, I feel like some people, it's like being a casserole in the oven. Sometimes you take it out a little too early. Sometimes people are ready to go.
Yeah, it's the timing, right? Certain people are ready for certain times, and sometimes it's just right. You just take it out just right, and you're in your prime. So having said that, what's the biggest lesson for more just a personal story here? What personal story and message have you learned that you can share with the audience that there was a day where you were working on a song where it was just like, it's coming, it's going to, become something big, and then there's days where you don't have it. What particular story can you share to where you can give us insight about what you go through as far as a daily grind and a long journey from day one to like day now?
Sure. Well, one of the hardest things to admit is that everything eventually ends or changes. And sometimes those changes can be really difficult or painful, or you feel like you just can't cope with dealing with it. And I'd really say, you just have to pour in your work. You really have to focus on the things that you're doing and how you feel. Because ultimately, you're the only person that's in control of those things. And the sooner that you realize that, I mean, the better your life will be.
There you go. I think it's really you're the control of your life. You're the captain of the ship, and how you navigate the ship will get you to the dock. That's it.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome, man. So a little bit about when you, let's say you're done with all this and you're figuring out, your legacy at the end of your career. What's your legacy going to be when you get done with the CDS brand and the music?
I really want to leave behind a large body of work where people can look back and go, wow, that guy was crazy.
When you say crazy, tell me a little bit, like, what do you mean by that? Anything like in particular?
Like, part of the reason that I started this project was to kind of step back and not have it be so much about me. That way I could create without the fear of failure, if that makes sense. That way I could just kind of, hey, I have this crazy idea. I'm just going to do it. Instead
Interesting.
of when I perform or when it's, like an album with my face on it, it's more, all right, what do people want to hear? What am I going to do?
I didn't notice that. We'll talk about that in a second. Right? But going back to what you were saying, yeah, I think it's a very selfless act, right? When you take a step back from thinking about yourself and putting others first. So when I did notice you really don't show your face much, or more of a humble kind of guy. Were you always someone like this, very humble, or do you feel the evolution of getting in this journey has metamorphosized you like a butterfly, and you've grown into somebody who's more about the fans, the demographics that go out there and help others?
Oh yeah. I lived up in South Lake Tahoe for 3 or 4 years, and I really participated a lot in the live music scene, and it was very much about, this is me. Look at what I'm doing. Isn't this awesome? And when it all kind of came crashing down at the end, it left me feeling kind of vacant, without a lot of fans, without a lot of supporters, and I really sat there for a while and wondered what I did wrong, because up in that scene, that seemed like what everybody was doing. And sometimes you kind of get caught up in the whirlwind of a new thing and go, this is who I am now. But really, you have to check yourself. And so when that was all over and I was trying to find something new to pour myself into, I was like, this time I'm just going to step back from it and just have it be just the music.
You went back to the fundamental, right? The music is what got you here, in a sense, and then you basically experienced that scene in Lake Tahoe, understood a trend that's not working, and then you took a step back and then reverted back to the basics. So would you say just now strictly more on the music side, just focusing on the music, really letting your fans, or the people you work for, in a sense, and just getting the audience members, the people who really are going to stick with you, those diehards, help you? It helps you when you get the support.
Totally. I mean, I don't really make very much off of my music at this point. And so it's really about, I'm making it for you. This is for you. This is my shiny thing that I made.
Just like the jewelry, right? It's
Yeah.
that. It's a weird symbolism, but you're right. I guess it goes back to just saying, doing things out of your heart, your kindness of your will, it'll get you further. It'll get you down the road where you can't even believe things happened. So
yeah, I definitely hope so.
No. It's honorable, man, because a lot of people, you know, they try to get the deal done, right? They try to get the independent deal, or they try to get a big time deal, and it doesn't work because they're not sticking to their beliefs and their personality. Would you say, and this is totally up to you if you want to share it, but would you say you've ever been approached by somebody to get you a deal, and did you accept, or did you have to say no because I'm doing it for something else? Has that ever happened before?
Yeah, when I was younger, I did have an independent label that I was, you know, approached by to make like a demo album. It was kind of up in the air, and they really wanted me to use, you know, their studio, their producers, and financially, it just didn't make sense, and it just didn't feel right, so I just didn't go for it.
No, I think it's a noble act, right? You don't rush the game. Patience is a key. What would you say would be the ratio for patience in the music industry from what you've seen because you've been in the game? Do you feel younger artists are pursuing more patience now and really learning the business side, or do you feel it's still out for verdict because it's such a interesting time we live in with the new Gen Z artists?
I think that there have been so many artists that have done it wrong, and even when they become successful, you know, they've signed into this deal where, hey, we'll give you a bunch of money, and hey, now you're famous, but the truth of it is that they charge you back for all that stuff, and now you're indebted to them, and now they own everything that you make, and you have to make what they tell you to. And I think that enough people have learned that now to where they go, hey, wait a minute, there's got to be a different way. It's got to be about the music. It can't just be like this.
Right. It's perspective. You can't just let your ego get involved. Would you say egos are a big issue in the music world nowadays? You feel people are starting to produce stuff just for that viral click?
Oh, definitely. At least it seems like that. You know, I can't really judge anybody else just on their external. That might just be their persona, but sometimes it seems that way. Yeah.
It's a fair analysis, right? Because you see it all the time on, not so much on certain genres. Like certain genres, we get it, you're humble. But you see certain other genres where it feels like they're just trying to get the quick bait. They're trying to get that quick one-time hit, one-time wonder. And they don't understand that it's the long haul that will make the most at the end of the day, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're going to get close to the end here, but we'll talk a couple more things. You're looking at, as far as the side hustle, is there anything in particular you've always been fascinated by the side hustle to help get you further along, or any skills you're trying to learn?
Oh, yeah. It's all about the thrift shops, man.
Okay.
I love thrift shopping. That's my thing.
Tell me a little bit about what you do with the thrift shop. Do you buy and sell? Do you just buy for novelty? Do you buy just for sentimental value? Give me a little bit insight about that.
Oh, yeah. Being in California, there's a whole submarket that's built off of people that buy stuff and sell it even to stores. So if you can build the quantity and find the buyer, then it's pretty easy. I mean, you aren't going to get rich, but it at least puts some food on the table.
Gotcha. It's another one of those industries where you're doing it for the love of the game, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the hunt. With that industry, it's all about looking through racks of clothes and digging through a pile of junk jewelry.
There you go. So for personal development and motivational sense, what are some things you do to personally develop yourself in the music? Obviously it doesn't have to be, you know, just music, but is there anything you do to help personally develop yourself and grow as a person in your community and yourself?
Totally. I always try to meditate at least twice a week for about 30
okay.
minutes. I also do yoga probably 2 to 3 times a week. Nothing real intense, just breathe and stretch. And then I try to get at least 30 minutes of physical activity every day. I really like to swim during the summer since the weather is so nice out here. But I also like to ride bikes or go for a leisurely walk. That's you got to feed your body to feed your mind.
I like that. Would you say doing these leisure activities, and especially the meditation and yoga, help your creativity when writing music when you get back in it?
Definitely. It kind of clears out all those cobwebs, all the noise going on, so we can really focus.
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot because you're resetting yourself. You're giving your soul and your spirit a new awakening, in a sense.
Definitely. Also, keep a dream journal. That helps out a lot.
What is a dream journal? What does dream journal mean to you, and how important that is to your life?
I was born and grew up in an age before we had these, supercomputers, smartphones. So for me, I just keep my phone nearby, and when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I'll have like a melody that's fresh. I'll just sit there and hum it out or whistle it out or, sing something.
Interesting. It's that's something I never heard of, but I guess it's always good to get you that dream journal, right? You have that way of not so much meditating, but getting your mindset right and getting yourself, your goals right. Would you say when you do the dream journal, do you do it daily? Do you do it once a week? What's your routine like with a dream journal?
I'm kind of more laxed on that. So
okay.
it has to be something, amazing. Like, I'll have this dream of a company, or I'll have a dream about going on a vacation, or, something happening, and I'll just kind of talk about that. So I'd say maybe like once or twice a week.
Gotcha. That is a, pretty noble, man. Just the fact that you take it once or twice a week out of your day to, get yourself, set for life, in a sense, get your mindset right, get your goals right, get your mental health in order. It definitely gives you quality to life. Last thing before we talk about goals, how important is the mental health game in the music game? I know people overlook that, but how important is mental health in music?
It's extremely important. Part of it is you kind of have to have this more positive mindset. But the truth of it is, if you really want to write great music, you have to embrace and understand the downtimes too, because sometimes those are even more intense than the good times. And you kind of have to keep yourself sane. You have to take care of yourself and make sure that you don't get all dragged down or overworked and, work yourself into a problem.
No, for sure. I think it's a great way to segue into it, because a lot of people nowadays are talking about mental health, and especially in music, right? It's a lonely industry. If it's just you in the studio, you're going to be fighting those mental demons. You're going to be fighting everything between writer's block to just not feeling it. Or even when you're doing well, right, you get so much success, you wonder like how far you can go. So it's always important to stay humble, not get too high and not get the lows too low, for sure.
Yeah, especially if you're performing live. The performance of a live, the feeling of a live performance can be one of the most intense emotions that you can ever experience. If you've never done it, I highly recommend it. Go stand out on the street corner if you have to. It's amazing. It's a feeling where you feel open and bare and alone, but with everybody at the same time. It's hard to explain.
No, I got you. Are you speaking from personal experience? Have you performed live before?
Oh, yeah. When I lived in Tahoe, I think I was doing 300 events a year.
Holy snap.
But that, I didn't know that, that what I know now, that's where you really overwork yourself, and then by the time that you realize it's a problem, it's already too late.
And would you say out of those 300, was it every other day, or like what was the routine? Like, what was your schedule like when you were playing all those events?
Oh,
crazy.
Man. I was working a job trying to promote timeshares, because it's kind of a tourist town at the same time. So it was wake up, play a morning gig from 11 to 3, then go to work until 9, then play from 11 at night to 2 in the morning, and that was like 3 or 4 days a week.
My hat's off to you, man. That is something that that's just something that it's hard to fathom in today's society that, you know, that's what people really strive for. But I guess that was the norm in that town, right? Lake Tahoe is a touristy town, so you had to make it while the going was good, in a sense.
Exactly, because it's only that busy when the tourists are in town. As soon as they're gone, you'll have nobody at your show.
Yeah, I guess it's a good way that you got it done.
Yeah.
So we're going to end it right here, man, and just talk about your 2019 end-of-the-year plans and what you want the CDS brand, the second album, to look like in 2020.
Yeah, Circle Diamond Square. I'm definitely I've got the album on the way, album number 2. And then it's going to be 20 tracks. It's going to be all original instrumentals. Then I'm going to be putting out a 4-album EP of kind of like my favorites from both albums that are unreleased. And then, you know, just try and stay focused and try to make something every single day.
Great goals, man. I think it's important to keep your mindset right, keep that mindset going, and keep that keeps the creation going, that process. It's never ending. But before we go, man, you want to just plug your social handles? It's been a great interview so far, so people can find you on social.
Thanks. I had a great time. You can find me on Instagram. It's at Circle Diamond Square, and that's pretty much all that I do.
Perfect, man. I'd like to thank Mark from CDS for giving his time on this Tuesday afternoon. And thank you to the United Promotion listeners out there for always tuning into the episodes and hearing these wonderful people. Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure, bro. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the United Podcast Experience. If you're not already, be sure to subscribe so that way you can stay up to date with all of our guests. Check the description for all the links pertaining to everything discussed today. And if you want to be promoted or know somebody who should be, reach out to us at the United Promotion on Instagram. And be sure to follow us there as well to stay up to date with all of our guests.